Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to our afternoon kollel. Obviously, I usually teach on Tuesdays. I'm teaching on Wednesday this week, but there's a very meaningful sponsorship this week. Today's learning is sponsored by the Kraus Moskowitz Delakai families for Refuah Shleima for my first cousin, Alex Kraus, Rafal Arna Cohen Ben Rivka, who is in need of a Refuah Shleima. So our learning should be as a merit for his Refuah Shleima. And that's actually the topic that I want to talk to you about. Today we're going to take a little bit of a detour from some of the stuff we normally study. And I started with the following question. I was wondering, after we've been saying so much Tehillim for my cousin, why is it that we say Tehillim? At what point in history did Tehillim become so popularized as the source for where we turn when it comes to davening for a sick person? I'll ask you another question in as a form of introduction. Why Tehillim? Right? Out of all the things that we can do, why did Tehillim become the ubiquitous answer to times of need, to times of crisis for an illness? Now, of course, we have sources for davening, right? We know that our avos davened, the imos davened. We know the pasuk in a few weeks ago, the parsha, tamei tamei yikra, that why does the mitzora have to call out his impurity? And the answer is because he wants other people to know about it so that those people can daven on his behalf. So, of course, we know that there's a significant source for davening. That's one of the most foundational elements of our Judaism. But we also have Talmud Torah. We have learning. So at what point in history, when it came time to do something for a chola, for a sick person, did Tehillim almost, in a strange kind of way, replace Talmud Torah? Right? Why is it that when we get together for Tehillim rallies, we don't get together for learning rallies? When did Tehillim become ubiquitous? Why is it ubiquitous? And what are some of the sugyas about and that surround the recitation of Tehillim as a form of davening? That is what I want to study with you here today. So, of course, I'm going to share my screen, and I will show you that, of course, the notion of saying Tehillim is, of course, popularized. I trace it back, most notably, to the 18th century, when you have the Chidar of Yosef David Azulai. There, perhaps, I'm sure, are earlier sources if I looked more carefully, but a lot of the contemporary sources trace it back to the Chida. And you'll notice here, I just share with you a couple of excerpts from various writings of the Chida. So for example, the Chida over here writes in a chapter on Tehillim, he gives a whole Yehi Ratzon that should be recited after completing the five books of Tehillim. Many are familiar with this Yehi Ratzon. And in there, it lists a whole litany of things that we're davening for. V'tatzilenu mimilchama, that we should be saved from war. And in the merit of this, we should have peace. And v'tikra roa gizar dinenu, it should tear up any evil decree against us. So the Chida already in his Yehi Ratzon anticipates that the reason why we are saying Tehillim is because of the very common needs that one would say Tehillim for. Elsewhere in that same Sefer of the Chida, he lists 12 things that you can do, or a number of things you could do, for a Refuah Shleima for someone else. Number one, he says, number two, Yilmedu Psukei HaTehillim Me'osios Shmo Mi Sefer Likutei Tehillim. Of course, the Chida popularized the notion of structuring Sefer Tehillim, not in the way that we have it, but rather by the letters. I remember I was at a Sephardi Shiva house the other day, and the person was going crazy. We didn't have Tehillim in the Aleph Beis, and he couldn't understand it. What kind of shul are we, right? Because for him, that was the general way that you do it. So the Chida writes that if you want to daven for someone, you should take the chapters of Tehillim that spell that person's name, and you should say it in that person's honor. Number one, he says, Yiched asara nashim shis anu v'yikaru atilim b'ni imel rufuaso. Number one is get 10 people together. They should fast and they should say Tehillim not as speed reading, but rather as b'ni ima. They should say it pleasantly. They should say it calmly as a merit for the refuah shleima of another person. Elsewhere in the writings of the Chida, this is the Sefer Mora Be'etzba, he writes, Kvar noda skulas Sefer Tehillim nora ma'od. The school of saying Sefer Tehillim is unbelievable. Yizahir likros mimenu shir b'chol yom olafachos b'chol ashavu. And therefore, you should be careful to say it every day. And if you can't do it every day, then you should do it every week. Now, in the footnote over there, which I have on the top of page 2, he says, but wait a second, right? We also have Talmud Torah. What happens when I'm learning? Do I stop my learning to say Sefer Tehillim? So here he says, no. He says, if you're learning Talmud Torah, right, Val Kopanim ain nachon labali Torah laharbo shows rabos b'amira mizmori Tehillim. If you can be learning Torah, you shouldn't spend your entire life saying Tehillim. Rather, right, there's a balance. right? Adif likro kama mizmorim behavanas hapshat ubisorus harukshos milaharbos bekriya below lasim lev kaofa mitzavtei. He says it's better to say a couple of chapters to him carefully, with understanding, with kavana, than just to fly through the Sefer Tehillim. And so he says to the Talmidei Chachamim, you don't have to drop learning altogether. Of course, that's ridiculous. But what you do is you pepper the recitation of Sefer Tehillim into your day. And he specifically mentions that you should understand it, right? Behavana sapshat. We don't just say Tehillim without understanding it, but you're supposed to say with understanding. And that's what we say, tov ma'at pekavana, meharbos belo kavana. It's better to say a little bit of Tehillim with kavana than to say a lot of Tehillim without kavana. That is all just a little bit of introduction in terms of the importance of saying Tehillim based on the writings of the Chidah. The Chidah listed as a skula for Refuah Shleima talks about the segula nora ma'od, that it's a great skula that it is to say Tehillim. He talks about how we should say it with kavana. Again, that is in the writings of the Chidah. The problem with all this is from a Rambam. And the Rambam in the 11th chapter of Hilchos Avodah Zarah tells us something that is troubling. Halochesh al hamaka, which means that someone who whispers incantations over a wound, vikorei pasuk mina Torah, and then recites words of Torah, vichein hakorei al atinok shelo yivat v'ameniach sefer Torah o tefillin al hakatan b'shvil sheyishan. In other words, if you use Torah, Torah scroll, Torah items for a purpose, to soothe the child, to get the child to sleep, so that the child will not be afraid. Says the Rambam, lo dai lahem shehim bechlala menachashim vechovrim. It's not just that you are a soothsayer and that you buy into voodoo. Ela shehim bechlala kofrim betorah. But if you use Torah for this purpose, you are a kofer, says the Rambam. Shehin osin divrei Torah refuas guf eino ela refuas nefashos, because you're using the Torah for the purposes of healing a person's body. However, says the Rambam, habari, someone who's healthy, shekari psukim umizmor tehillim kedei shetagin alem zchus kriyasan. But if I'm healthy and I want to recite tehillim prophylactically, then hareze mutter, then it is permissible. So the Rambam is a very Shver Rambam, it's a very hard Rambam to understand. On the one hand, why does the Rambam differentiate between healthy and unhealthy people? Why should there be a difference? Why can I say Tehillim prophylactically? I'm healthy right now, Baruch Hashem. I'm allowed to say healthy. I'm allowed to say Tehillim. My cousin is ill right now. He's sick. So what? He's not allowed to say Tehillim? Why does that make sense? The language of the Rambam is a very strong language. That if you utilize Tehillim in this regard, that if you utilize it for a refuah for someone, it's not just enough that you buy into voodoo, in soothsaying, but rather, you're a kofir b'torah. Now, the Rambam doesn't pull this out of a hat. The Rambam is basing this on a Gemara in Maseches Shavuos. The Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, Daf, Tesvav, Amid Beis, says, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Amar lehu lahani cry, vigani. Rav Yehuda, or Rav Yeshua ben Levi would recite certain psukim, and he said that those psukim would protect you from evil spirits befalling you. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Avid, how can you do this? V'ha'amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, doesn't that same Rav Yeshua ben Levi say, Aser l'hisrapos b'divrei Torah, that it is prohibited to heal yourself with the words of Torah? Answers the Gemara, L'hagein shani. The Gemara answers, no, to protect yourself is different. In other words, to do so prophylactically, that is going to be permissible. But to not do so prophylactically, in other words, to utilize it as a mechanism for a refuah shleima, that is a problem. And so what you come out with, based on the Rambam, and based on the Gemara and Shavuos, is that it is usur to heal with divrei Torah. It's usur to heal with reciting psukim. That would be a significant problem for our recitation of Tehillim. Because essentially what many Meforshim point out is that's exactly what we are doing. We are using Tehillim. We are using divrei Torah. I announced at the beginning of this year that it should be a refuah shleima for my cousin. Why am I allowed to do that? Isn't that a problem according to the Rambam? Isn't that a problem according to the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos? So Tosos over there asked this question. And Tosos says, Aser l'israpos b'divrei Torah. V'hada amar b'maseches Shabbos. L'ishta bas yoma lema hachi vayar malach Hashem elav. that again, if you want a certain form of protection, you say this pasuk of Ayar Malach Hashem El Elav. So Tosa says, how can you do that? Didn't we just say Aser Lis Rapos B'Divrei Torah, that it is prohibited to use Divrei Torah for healing? Answers Tosfos, Sakanta Shani, that if it's a real emergency, if it's a real sakana, then it's different, then it's permissible. And you come out after the beginning, opening part of the shiur with three very strange opinions. It means that there are three categories. There's category number one, which is a healthy person. That says the Gemara, that says the Rambam, I'm allowed to daven for. I'm allowed to utilize tilling for. I'm allowed to learn Torah for that person. That's okay. On the other hand, if a person is in a really precarious situation, sakanta shani, then I'm allowed to utilize Divrei Torah as well. But it's that middle category of someone who's sick, but not very sick, that maintains Tosfos, is going to be prohibited. And therein lies our question. How can that be permissible? Another Gemara that is very problematic. The Gemara in Erevin tells us, on daf, nun dalet, amud aleph, chash berosho, that if you have a really bad headache, yasok betorah, then all you have to do is go and you have to learn Torah. Wait a second, says the Marsha. How are you allowed to learn Torah? Didn't we just get through saying that you're not allowed to use Torah for refuah? That was the Rambam. That was the Gemara. So says the Marsha over here, V'lo shayich bazeh iser la'adam lisrapos b'divrei Torah. He says this is not the same case as the Rambam, as the Gemara in Shavuos. Why? He says, aval derech limudeu vadai shari. Right? To do so within the context of Talmud Torah, to do so within the context of learning, that is going to be permissible. So if you're doing it for lachash, now as if you're doing it for incantations, right? You're doing it as some form of like a voodoo seance ceremony, then, says the Maharsha, you have a real problem. But if you're doing it from the perspective of Divrei Torah, then it's going to be permissible. Va'od Yesh Lomar, says the Maharsha. Secondly, says the Maharsha, Da'acha lo b'chala rosho kamar, ela b'chash b'rosho, shelo yavo lidei choli mamish. She says also here, even if you want to reject my first answer, my second answer is the guy doesn't have a real sickness yet. He has a little bit of a headache. So before he really gets sick, he wants to go into daven that it doesn't become anything even more significant. So the Maharsha is troubled by our question, and he answers two different suggestions. Either that you can argue that Talmud Torah is different, that the only realm that this is prohibited is if it's an incantation, if it's lachash, right, sorcery. But if it's in the realm of Talmud Torah, of course you can do that. That was answer number one. Answer number two was that no, this isn't a real illness yet, and that's why it's permissible. Because it's only a little bit of a headache, right? You and I both know, you get that headache, and you're like, let me go take a couple of Advil before it becomes something even worse. That, says the Maharsha, is what we're talking about here. We're talking about a guy who has a little headache. And before it becomes incapacitating, he says, you know what? Let me say some tilim. Let me learn a little bit of Torah to prevent it from becoming anything more significant. That is the answer of the Maharsha. The Meiri comes along. And the Meiri in Shavuos is bothered by all of our questions and all the contradictory Gemaras, answers the Meiri, V'li nira, she'ein ze ela ke'ein tfila, v'havtacha. When is it permissible? Again, it's prohibited if it is lachash, if it is a form of sorcery. When is it permitted? She'ein ze ela ke'ein tfila. If you do it as a form of tfila, v'havtacha she'tavo lo Yeshua mitoch godal hatzaras, and a plea to Hashem that he should provide a redemption because of all the tzar, because of all the difficulties that I am finding myself in. K'mo she'yodeh b'mashal asneh. Shu remez l'uma shvela shaisa sham bo eras be'ish tsaras hamelachu ve'inenu kala biyado. Right, the imagery of the sneh, where it was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. That is what we're davening for to Hashem. And therefore, says the Meiri, that's the differentiation. Right, the differentiation is, are we talking about sorcery, or are we talking about tefila? What comes out from the Maharsha and the Meiri is that there are two very significant leniencies, which is Torah and tefillah. That if you use Torah or Tehillim in that context, then it is going to be permissible. And in fact, I think this is mefurish in the Rambam. Because if you look at the language of the Rambam, The Rambam says, Halochesh alamake, in other words, someone who is whispering an incantation over a wound, vikorei pasuk min haTorah. In the context of that, you're reading a pasuk in the Torah. That is where the Rambam says it is problematic. But to not do it in the context of sorcery, then perhaps it would be permissible. The Meiri in Shabbos gives a different suggestion. He says, Mashinota she'asor lisrapos b'divrei Torah efshar shelo nemar ela kasheikar refuaso min haTorah. Avakan harihu mona harbe tvarim bezulas haskaras osam hamikros. If you're only davening, if you're only learning, says the Meiri, that's when it becomes problematic. But if you're doing other things, you're going to the doctor, you're taking your medicine, if you're doing all of that and you're davening, then the Meiri says it's not going to be a problem. So that is answer number three. Putting all this together, Rav Asher Weiss writes the following. V'kevan da'asin alahachi, nira od, demutter li'israpos b'divrei Torah af b'derech skula, that it's permissible to use either divrei Torah, giving a shir in the refuah shlema for someone, or tehillim, kigon b'shimosh tehillim, uvetamna, afilu v'chedvarav, v'chedome, dekevan de'ein kan lachash, ela tefila, right? We're not doing sorcery here. Right, it's a tefila. V'shevach le'akadosh baruch hu. It's praise to Hashem. V'talmud Torah ma'abekach. Shelofi ha'masor yesh prakim psukim sheish bem skula miyuchedes. Of course, Talmud Torah, there are certain prakim that have an enormous skula. Lo asru chachamim ela lasos divrei Torah plaster. V'lomer psuki Torah derech lachash bavad. So if I start saying a pasuk, right, and I'm saying it as a form of sorcery, where I have these like voodoo-like images of what it's going to do, that is, by the way, some people even to this day misuse Tehillim like that. That, says Rav Asher Weiss, is going to be a problem. But to use it as a form of tefillah, as a form of shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that of course is going to be permissible. Says Rav Asher, v'lulei demistafina haveyamina yeseir mizu da'afa Rambam lo nitzkav l'chadish. Right, the Rambam, he says, would agree to this. Because what was our question? What's the difference between a healthy person and a non-healthy person? Why would it be permissible for a healthy person and prohibited for a non-healthy person? Says Rav Asher, Ella de Harambam Perish Kavanas HaGemara de Bizmanehem Hayu Lo Chashim Al Hamaka. That's how they used to respond to sick people back then. They would do sorcery over a wound. Right? And therefore he says, Ach Lo Hayu Lo Chashim Klal HaGen Al HaBari. But they didn't do it for healthy people. So they would do the sorcery for sick people. They wouldn't do the sorcery for healthy people. Therefore, says the Rambam, it's prohibited for sick people, but it's permitted for healthy person. The Rambam wasn't stating that as an indisputable fact. The Rambam was saying that based on the Metzias, based on the reality of what existed back then, it would be prohibited for a sick person and permitted for a healthy person. But in a chinami, that if you could agree that nowadays, it's changed. The circumstances has changed. So he says, "Mutter lilmod Torah lerefuas achola v'chein likro tehillim b'derech tefila lerefuso." Now, of course, it would become permissible. It would become permissible. And then he quotes, goes on in a different part of his essay. He writes, "Hinei minag rabim bizmanenu lahaniach esefer akadosh noam eli melech tachas lmerishoseha shel yoledes keskula." I've never heard that skula, but apparently there's a skula to put the book, the sefer, the noam eli melech, under a woman as she's giving birth. He says, V'davar pele, Ra'isi. He says, understand this. Right, Ra'isi b'shiure ha'gon ra'bezden mikamenitz, sh'nitfas l'achron ba'akdam al-sefer kas b'sfas emes, tzivel aniach ha'sefer beis aron tachas rosh ha'sholot k'skula. That they used to place the beis aron under the head of a sick person. Says Rav Asher, v'lechora asr la'asos kein, sh'ari zoma, zedoma l'masha kas of a Rambam. He says, that is what the Rambam was railing against. These absurd skulas. These voodoo-like skulas, right? Amnam nisbayer la'el de b'makom sakana kol zed mutter ve'efshar de kol aminag shenagul haka b'ze ein ella b'makom sakana. He goes, again, if it's a sakana gedola, Tosas already says that's permissible, but short of that, he thinks that's kfira. He thinks that's what the Rambam is talking about. So Rav Asher says he believes that even the Rambam would agree with our analysis. That the Rambam, when he differentiated between a healthy and a sick person, that was based on the reality of his day and age. That in the time of the Rambam, for a sick person, they used to do this sorcery, and a healthy person, they didn't. The Rambam was afraid that they would misuse Torah, that they would misuse Tehillim, if they were saying it for a sick person, and therefore he prohibited it altogether. But, says Rav Asher, nowadays, where that's not the case, so to use Torah, to use Tehillim, he says that's a great schus for someone in need of refuah shlema. However, to misuse it nowadays, now we would fall into the same problem as the Rambam. So the absurd skulas, says Rav Asher Weiss, like placing a sefer under the head of a person, that's mysteriously going to help them out, that the that Minchas Asher says is going to be prohibited. Interesting, I saw, and this is just a little bit of a tangent, there's a very prominent custom of 40 days, right? Go to the Kotel for 40 days, or say Nishmas for 40 days, or say Tillim for 40 days. So of course, 40 days comes from Noach, the Mabul. 40 days comes from Moshe on Har Sinai, right? That's where the notion of 40 days comes from. And a lot of the later commentaries are trying to understand where this notion of 40 days developed into something more significant. There are a few sources out there. Not everyone loves the idea. Again, just putting it out there. And I don't know where the custom of saying Nishmas for 40 days came from. That seems to become popularized. I'm not sure, again, a source for that. I didn't see anything from that. The most compelling argument to me is the Sefer HaChinuch. Again, to me, who little me. In my mind, right, to me, the Sefer HaChinuch makes a very compelling argument. The Sefer HaChinuch asks all of our questions, okay? Why is it that Tehillim protects us from forms of hardship? Why is it that Tehillim became the thing that we say for a refuah shlema? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, Vein davar chalila doma linyan chover chever shezacharnu. Saying Tehillim is not similar to sorcery. Chas v'shalom, he says. V'chvar amru zichrono levracha al ze asur lisrapos b'divrei Torah. We already said that it's prohibited to use divrei Torah as a form of sorcery. Aval hiskiru lomar mizmorim elu sheish behem dvar. But to say sefer Tehillim that has within it things that will ye'oruru hanefesh hayodeya osam, that will inspire us, that will arouse our neshama, lachasos b'Hashem ulahasim bo kol miftacho. If the Tehillim are going to build our Amunah in Hashem, if the Tehillim are going to build our faith in Hashem, it's going to inspire us and arouse us to a closer relationship with Hashem, says the Sefer HaChinuch beautifully. Umitoch his orus halzeh, ye nishmar b'li safek mikol nezek. In other words, it's not voodoo. It's not, oh, abracadabra, poof. I say this Perek Tehillim, something magical happens. No, says the Sefer HaChinuch. It's through our inspiration as a result of the Tehillim that is our protection. You and I become different people as a result of our reciting Tehillim. And in the merit of that, that is what creates the protection. That is what creates the protection. And therefore he says, Kolomar lo asra Torah, sheyomar adam divrei Torah. Right? It's not asra to say divrei Torah if the result is Le'orer nafsho letova, kidei sheyagin alav osan hazchus l'shomra. So when I say Tehillim, when I learn, it's not that I sprinkle magic fairy dust on the world and all my problems go away, but I have to be inspired through it. I have to become changed through it. I have to become closer to Hashem through it. And if I do that, then in the zchus of that, in the merit of that, then I truly become a different person. That is what gives me the zchus. That is what gives me the merit. That is what puts up the shield as a form of protection. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach deals with all of this in his Halicha Shlomo. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, "Betfila ala chola yesh lahazkir shmo v'chein shem imo haikari v'lo hakinoi." Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when you're davening for a person, you have to say the name and the name of the mother, not a nickname. Okay. Then in the footnote, he says the following: "Uva'amiras pirkei tilim b'tzibur." Lezachos refuah sachola. Shlomo Zalman says when you have a Tehillim gallery for some gathering for someone who's in need, so he's very particular. Yedaktiku lahachriz shmo kodem shmaschil nispala. He says you actually have to say the name. Kadeshi yechavnu atzibur betvilasan alav. It's important to say the name, says Shlomo Zalman, because that way people can have kavana in their davening for this person. I remember I was at a funeral with Rav Ephraim Shapiro. And over again, he kept on saying over the name of the mace. He says, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it again, because every moment of inspiration here, it should be for an aliyah for the neshama of the person. So too, when we daven for a sick person. says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, mention their name over and over again so that we can have kavana in our learning and in our davening for that person. Okay? Then he says something very interesting. He says that saying Tehillim is actually a form of Talmud Torah. He says that you have to understand what you're saying. Why? He mishum Talmud Torah, because it's a form of Talmud Torah. Kolomar, shekore velomde pirkei Tehillim, that you're saying pirkei Tehillim, umisorer al yedezeh lachashok ledveikus b'Hashem. And I'm inspiring myself to now come closer to Hashem. And it's in the merit of that that it should benefit the chole. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, now we understand why we say Tehillim. Right? Why don't we just have Shir Klali every time someone is sick? Why don't we have everyone gather for a Lamdisha Chabura Vachakira of the Briskarov? Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, because if the whole goal is to be Miss O'Rare, if the whole goal is to be inspired and to want to come close to Hashem, right? Therefore, mehai taima bachru lomar tehillim lizchus hachola. That's why we chose tehillim. Yosir milimud dvar macherim lizchus hachola. More than even a shir. Mimnei shezehu limud shagam misores lev adam ledveikus Hashem. Because there's an added benefit to tehillim. And that is, it will inspire us. It will inspire us in amunah. It will inspire us to come closer to Hashem. And therefore, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, v'kevan shekein, pshita, shetzarech lahavin, peirish hamilo, shemotzi mipiv. If the whole point is to understand it, and therefore, through the words, to come close to Hashem, you have to understand what you're saying. V'lachavin b'zeh, I have to have kavan in the words. Shekein amr, David HaMelech, gam anu chafetzi mishtokim, l'schus l'dar gezo. Right? If we want to achieve the level of David HaMelech understood what he was writing. So we too have to understand what we are saying, the words of David HaMelech. You'll notice that both the Chida and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said something that's not very popular nowadays, which is people who recite Tehillim, I don't want to use the word mindlessly because it has a pejorative term, but without understanding what it is that they're saying. Both Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the Chida both reiterated the notion that you should understand what you're saying. That in order for the Tehillim to quote-unquote work, in order to get the full effect of the Tehillim, you have to understand the words, because it's through the words that you are going to feel that level of hisorus, that you will be mit'orer, that you will inspire yourself, and in the zchus of inspiring yourself, you will grant a refuah shlema to the sick person. I'm running a little short on time. You could see that very interesting footnote 62. Again, I'm happy to send this out to anyone. Very interesting footnote 62 that's quoted by Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I come to the Peli Yoetz. Rabbi Lezer Papo has a whole section on Tehillim as well. Beautiful section. He writes, Tehillim gadla ma'alasam. Tehillim, the benefit of saying it is amazing. And he quotes, right, the kama ma'alos tovos, how great it is. Right, David HaMelech used to say it. And he says here, he says, "Hine kichein lo yigra mitzadik lilmo kol sefer tehillim b'chol shavua midishavus b'shavato." A tzadik should say tehillim once a week, whole book. V'af shekasvu aposkim shemishi yachol lilmod halachos u'pilpulim v'osek b'tehillim chashu bittel Torah. And that which the poskim say that if you can be learning and instead you're saying tehillim, it's bittel Torah. He says, "Okay, right? Mikol makom lilmod osam pama achas b'shavua lo nemar zeh. Everything in moderation." So you're right. If I can be learning Shas, Mishnayos, Poskim, I should learn that. But I should also pepper my day with Tehillim, Ve'es, L'chol Chefetz. There's time for whatever you want to make time for. Uma gam im koronos am barabim shi'isalu, heima yalu l'ratzon yoser. Right? And if you do it in public, even better. Ve'kosfu, says the Peli Yoetz, she'haragil b'sefer Tehillim, that someone who's accustomed to saying sefer Tehillim, doche kol minei pranos u'fagayim ra'im. It's like a shield. It pushes off any form of illness, any form of hardship, any challenges, adversity that might befall a person. Me'alav, from you. Ume'al b'nei beso, and from your family. Ume'al mishpachto, me'al kol b'nei doro, from your household, from the entire generation. Ume'gal gel aleim kol minei shefa brachos v'tovos v'atzlachos. And it causes a trickle down of enormous bracha into your life. V'lo yesh davar lahagim imnei hamazikin kamiris kaddish al tehillim. He says there's nothing like the kaddish after tehillim. V'arotze lidvok bois barachu v'shrachav. If you want to connect yourself to Hashem, yidbak lilmod sefer tehillim. Then you should connect yourself to the saying of tehillim. V'yesh kabbalah me'an sheshem akdoshim. He says we have a kabbalah. Shemi sheyesh lo eza docha kasha. That someone who's going through a difficult time, otsar, Oshu mahalich b'derech, and he's a precarious situation. Yikra kol atehillim b'chol yom, b'li hefsek b'chavana ve'achna'a. You should say to him every single day with humility and with kavana. V'yire nifla'os, and you'll see amazing things happen to you. That is the Pela Yoetz. Says the Pela Yoetz again. He continues, and you can read that on your own. The Rebbe Yatz, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's written in his diary, the following Maisa, 24th of Teves. The Yahrzeit of the Alter Rebbe was Friday. My father was a Shliach Tzibur all three times, and we were invited to Shabbos table. He was deep in Dveikus throughout the meal, singing a great deal, including the Alter Rebbe's melody of the four passages. After the singing, he spoke. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, I saw a grave accusation charged against the Jewish people. I was deeply troubled by this, and I was unable to see my grandfather, the Alter Rebbe. All my efforts were useless. I did see my father-in-law, the Mittler Rebbe, and he emphasized the gravity and threat of the accusation. He did say that the decree was not yet signed. That intensified prayer was imperative, but there must be no public knowledge, for this could also be harmful. During the Simchas Torah meal, while singing the Alter Rebbe's melody before benching, I saw my grandfather, and he said to me, "The cup of blessing should be elevated a hand's breadth above the table. The cup of blessing of David, namely the book of Tehillim, elevates one a hand's breadth and nullifies all accusations. Arrange, without any public announcement, that every morning no later than 4 o'clock the entire Tehillim be recited for 35 days. The accusation will be nullified." Tzemach Tzedek concluded this account to his sons, "If you only could know the power of the verses of Tehillim and their effects in the loftiest heights, you would spend every possible moment saying Tehillim. Know that the Tehillim shatter all barriers and rise even higher without interference, prostrate themselves before the Master of all, and bring about kindness and mercy." That is the Rebbe Rayatz, I believe it's the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, about the power of saying Tehillim. The Tzitz Eliezer has an entire tshuva about this prohibition, about saying Sefer Tehillim. At the conclusion of it, after going through many of the sources that we saw, he offers two other pieces of advice. He says, number one, perhaps to get away from the prohibition is if you say all of Tehillim and not just certain prakim of Tehillim. In other words, if you attribute certain prakim with certain things, perhaps that could be a problematic. And he says that if you add in healthy people in addition to sick people that you're davening for, now it becomes a conglomerate of those who are healthy and those who are sick, and that would again take away any concerns that you would have possibly within the Rambam or within the Gemara in Shavuot. So what we saw today is, for me, it was a fascinating sugya. I never really explored it. I kind of took it as given that we learn and we say Tehillim for a sick person. And so what I tried to show and what we were able to learn through is not only the sugya of a very problematic Rambam and a very problematic Gemara and Shavuos, and how the Rishonim and the Acharonim answer for that Rambam and and the Gemara and Shavuos, but more importantly, an appreciation for saying Tehillim, an appreciation for the sources of saying Tehillim, when it became more popularized, why it became more popularized, the contrast between Tehillim and Talmud Torah, why is it that we say Tehillim instead of having Shir Klali? That was the comment of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And again, I think that's a beautiful idea to think about. The usage of Tehillim to be mizorer us, to inspire us. That's as Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that's as the Sefer HaChinuch, is the entire protection. That's the entire zchus. It's not just sorcery. It's not just voodoo. It's not just, I recite the psukim and, you know, it's like sprinkling magic dust over the world. No, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the whole point is that it inspires me. In order to inspire me, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, I have to understand the words that I'm saying. And as the Chidah himself said, it's better to say a little bit of Tehillim with Kavana, to understand the words, to be able to connect to the words, than to say a lot of Tehillim and have no understanding of it whatsoever. So hopefully I gave us a little bit of an insight, not only to a sugya, but hopefully a little bit more inspiration for the role that Tehillim should play in our everyday lives. I wish everyone a wonderful week.